Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is Tuesday night, which is ABCs of Apostleship night, and tonight we will continue the process of discipling apostolic Christians. I appreciate that. I appreciate God calling me to do such a wonderful thing for him and to make things happen for him. So every week we're here discipling apostolic Christians. So what is that about? Dr. Price, what is it about? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but the main reason God started doing this is because so many Christians were having issues with his church. There were people who were, you know, we don't understand. There are other people, you know, we've got, what, how many books on church hurt? You know, nobody ever said, there's even a book out there that says how to hurt the church. I wonder, maybe Ashley can check on Amazon and see if we can have one that says, we got a lot of books on how the church hurt people. So I was wondering if we had any books out there on how people hurt the church. Because, you know, in this whole assault, this whole attack against Christianity, bashing God and blaming God and bashing God's people and blaming God's leaders is a prime thing. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, leaders don't hurt church, you know, sheep. But I'm also saying there's two sides to every story. And we need to be as equal. You know, people of truth are diligent about telling both sides of every story. For every church hurt story book we got, we need one out there to talk about the pastors that have been good pastors who were destroyed, pastors who left their lives, left their jobs, and left their world to start a church that, well, people weren't hurt. And, you know, in the end, you know, I would say hurting people hurt people. So when you have a hurt person in the mix, pain is bound to happen because pain oozes. You know, pain radiates. It's a radiator. And so pain oozes. Say that to yourself, pain oozes. And then ask yourself, is my pain oozing? Because all of us have something that's oozing. And so as we go forward in the things we have to do, I'm laying a foundation for something, you're going to love it. But as we go forward in what we're doing tonight and how we're covering it, just begin to say, when people start, because, you know, they can't wait. The folk want to tell you how the church hurt. Now, nobody tells you how the job hurt. If they do, they tell you, pray for me. Pray for me. My job is hurting me, and I need my job. And because I need my job, and I can't get fired, and I can't quit, and there are not a lot of jobs out there, I need you to pray my strength in my job. But when it comes to church, we don't pray. We don't ask anybody to pray for us to see it correctly, pray for the leaders to get healed. God said pray for all those who are in authority. He said and pray for all the people who are leading. So we don't have that. When you hear the church hurt story, the last thing they want to get healed is the church. And they want to, the church is vilified all the time, condemned, crucified, etc. So you know I'm a real apostle because real apostles know God has a real adversary against his church, and we're not quick to buy the lie. I don't care if it's an emotional lie, because people can tell an intellectual truth out of an emotional deception. I know you like that. Didn't you like that? That was good. Wait, McCall, I'm going to make you wait for it. Wait for it. We're going to wait for it. We'll make sure everybody signed on. But, you know, when you are moving in the Lord, when the truth is your vanguard, when the truth is your motive, you are not quick. You can discern when there is something else to be said. You know, I talk to people on the Paula Price Show every week. I've been doing this for, coming up on 5 years. Is it 5 years yet? Am I getting it?
Including prayer and all that kind of stuff, pre-dating, yeah?
Yes. I'm coming up on 5 years of talking to people I don't see, people many of which I've never met, listening to their you know, stories, their situations, and the tragedies and all of the things that they're suffering. And, you know, I'm always able to say, but, you know, there's something else to that story. What if you, saints, learn to say, but what's the other side of the story? You know, Proverbs says the first man seems right until the second man tells his side. When you're buying all of, you know, because I had people, yeah, well, you know, I had to leave because I had church hurt. What was that, a disease, a contagion? What happened? Did you get bit by a bug? rodent. What is it? I don't know. We treat church like it's a rodent that comes out and gets you as soon as you walk to church. And then you're walking around with the rabies called church hurt. I want you to understand, churches, not all churches are rabid. Some of them are very good. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but God is answering something. Sometimes you will sit down and listen to your friend. You'll sit down and listen to your coffee buddy, etc. And in this deceptive, emotionally charged, emotionally deceptive environment, all people have to do is well up in the eyes and look like they're going to cry, start trembling in the voice. And as far as you're concerned, all of those emotional reactions are, you know, basis for truth. I mean, he wouldn't cry if he was lying. Yeah, they would. People cry all the time, period. Some people cry because they're happy, cry because they're sad, cry because they don't know what else to do, cry because they can't handle their emotions. Some people just get overwhelmed by what's going on inside. That doesn't make it true. That doesn't make it true. So obviously there are churches that are under attack right now tonight that God wants to rebuke the attackers for. Because I'm on this and I can't let go. So God wants to rebuke the attackers of his church. And I will tell you this word God told me over almost 30 years ago, if not longer. He said, they want me to save their houses while they tear up mine. They want me to preserve their children while they destroy mine. They want me to preserve their works while they destroy mine. So I've got pastors whose lives are in a heap, and you want me to rescue your home. Whoever you are, I say this by the Holy Ghost. I say this by the Lord Jesus Christ. Back down off of that campaign because it will not go well with you in your house. It will not go well with you in your job. And it will not go well with your family. I'm telling you, a lot of these marriages are in trouble because you tore up God's church. Your homes are in trouble because you bashed his pastors. You caused these people to have to go back to their field. If you remember Nehemiah, God said, Nehemiah, get all of the work. Set up everything, went off to do what he had to do, and here comes the adversary. And before you know it, he goes, by the time he finishes the circle, he comes back. The priests are no longer in ministry. They're all on jobs again. They're all in their positions again. They had to go back to their fields to survive. I'm telling you, and I'm saying to somebody now, this is by the Spirit of God. You ask God, why can't you get a breakthrough? He said, because you broke down my house. Now, if he was upset with Israel for not building his house and building theirs first, how much more you feel? Think about this. A lot of Christian lives are in, you're in distress. You wrote that, read that little book called Church Something, and I'm not saying the book is invalid because, I mean, we need to hear all sides of the story, all sides. But let me give you the God side of the story because that's what I do. That's what we do as the messengers of the Lord of hosts. There are messengers of the congregation, and there are messengers of the God of the congregation. I'm a messenger of the God of the congregation. So I'm going to tell you right now, whoever you are, hang up your phone. Stop having meetings with these people. Don't believe them. The church they want to start will die. It will die, and it will die a very public and very embarrassing death. God is saying to you, stay put and let me work this out. Now, whoever you might be, this is the word of the Lord concerning you. Do not tear up God's church. You have an issue with your leader, quietly take your family and go. If those differences are irreconcilable, go. Leave if you must. If you don't feel like you have the strength, the fortitude, the courage, the wisdom to work it out, then quietly leave. Do not give explanations for why you depart to the sheep who want to know, because they don't want to know for good. And I'm telling you, if you put your mouth in that thing, it will hurt you. That will boomerang on you and come back on you later. Now, I'm saying to you, God is saying, do not destroy that work. I'm saying it again, do not destroy that work. Don't do it. Keep your hands off of it. Just because people make a mistake doesn't mean they need to be destroyed. Because God knows if you got destroyed for the mistakes you made, you wouldn't be here today. So I'm telling you, I don't know. The Lord is very, very disturbed. I don't know who you are, but God said, back down off of it. Go on and get in your prayer closet when I'm done. I'll be done in an hour. Get in your prayer closet and ask for repentance. Don't destroy this man's work. I'm telling you, many Christians at church hopping and we just all laugh about, well, heaven wasn't laughing. I can't find a home. you can't find a church home, then that's the flip side of you being unable to find a church home is God finding you unworthy of a shepherd. Are they loving on me? Because they probably not. Are y'all
speaking the truth? That's what they're saying. Truth.
See, because when you keep talking about I can't find a pastor, that means that the shepherd of the flock is not assigning a pastor to your soul. And probably because he knows that you have wreaked havoc over the pastors that he's had. So now you need to clean up some things. Some of these pastors won't come back into God's service, and their eternal harvest is at risk because of something you did knowingly, not knowingly, intentionally, or not. Some of you all just did it gullibly. You believed somebody one side of the story and didn't think to ask for the other side. I don't know who you are. The Spirit of God is grieved right now. But I'm telling you, you cannot say, if you're listening to my voice tonight, you cannot say God did not warn you. It will not go well with your house. I promise you that. It will not go well with your future because you will need God to stand up for you in a very vulnerable situation, and he will not do it because you are not leveraging his intervention in your future. Now, I know we have some the good news gospel people who will say that's not God, but God wrote in his Bible, he said, when I called, you didn't answer. When I asked you to come to my aid, you did not come. And I want you to understand that there are times that you may never have to defend God, but you should know that he needs you to defend his works and to defend his leaders and to defend his position in the world. That is what you must do. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is warning you very, very somberly. Don't have any more of those conversations. Don't go out to lunch with those people after church. Don't visit their houses. Do not do that. I'm telling you, because I don't care if it looks like you're getting away clean for a year. It won't be 3 years. God said for some, whoever I'm talking to right now, it won't be 5 months after you finish with this campaign that your life will go into a tailspin. And you know why? Because you broke the hedge of God Almighty. See, a lot of you didn't realize that you broke your hedge because that was the hedge of protection God assigned. And but sometimes the spirit of intolerance is not you. Sometimes there are moments when you're sitting in church and you're being goaded by a devil. You're being goaded by a spirit that wants to take out that work. You have got to become wiser than the devil. God said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That means you ought to be wise as he is and know when he's playing a game on you, know when he's running a game on you, know when there are witches sitting in your church's midst praying, trying to pray your pastor out of the service of God, knowing that when the sheep, listen, when you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. Scattered sheep are vulnerable. They're prey. There are real predators in this realm. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I hear God saying to you, cut your relationship, cut those phone calls off. Do not take another call from this person. Don't go to their wedding shower, baby shower, birth shower, death shower, no shower. Don't go, because they are walking in a divisive spirit. And that thing will inseminate your soul, and eventually you're going to be unhappy where they say they were unhappy. You're going to be dissatisfied where they say they were dissatisfied. You're going to be so wounded at the same situations they said they were, because that their seed is going to reproduce in you at this own kind. The Bible said, mark a divisive person. Mark them and don't keep company with them. He didn't say call them to hell. He said, but you need to protect yourself to keep your own soul and your own spirit from being contaminated. Evil company corrupts good habits. And don't let them suck you into one of them phony prayer groups. Oh, no, we just want to pray about our pastor. We just want to pray about our elders. We just want to pray about the deacons. We want to pray about the seniors and the intercessors. Let me tell you something. If they're not holding a seat of influence in the church, their prayers about all of that are minimal, which is why God has higher people praying for higher people. And in case you missed my webinar, you should have missed. You should not have missed it, because I covered this in that webinar about people praying from their station. And if they're not occupying the right station, they cannot get a prayer through. Just like the receptionist cannot run into the CEO's office just because, unless she is outside that office. Don't buy that. These people have no influence with God. But God is, somebody is being very gullible, and God's concerned about you. He's concerned about his sheep. Because I want you to understand, that one person may get their success, but a whole lot of lives are wrecked. I remember when my church here in Tulsa, I had a knife campaign crew, and it was a horrible experience here in Tulsa. I know y'all surprised because y'all think this is the buckle of the Bible Belt. But anyhow, the buckle was broke. And I want you to understand what happened. My own armor bearer, can you believe that, was sitting going to dinner with these people who were plotting to destroy our church. My armor bearer, who had been, quote unquote, bearing arms for a while, talking about she hurt, church hurt. Now, she couldn't tell me it hurt. We still don't, I still to this day can't tell you why she was hurt, but I do know that she was real eager to sit in those circles. I got to tell you, for those of you who don't know, let me share my soul so you know what your leader is feeling. When I realized that that woman was sitting in those meetings week after week without telling me and without letting me know that I had disgruntled members and disgruntled sheep, when I realized she did, I want to tell you something, a sword cut my soul. And I felt my soul bleeding out, and I did not know what to do with that pain because I'm telling you, my own faithful friend has kicked up his heels against me. He who dipped his hand in the bowl with me, will eat with me, and then still betray me. And I'm telling you this because sometimes you need to hear the other side. While we're talking about church hurt, let me talk to you about pastor hurt. Let me talk to you about shepherd hurt. And I'm telling you, I remember sitting in my, when I realized it was a house full of them. And they were having all of these plans and inviting others. Then my assistant pastor, this was a real church destruction. Then my assistant pastor was having meetings with the men to let them know why they shouldn't be in the church any longer. So I'm preaching my heart out thinking we're going on to glory and we're sliding off the slippery slope to hell. And I want you to know what those people did was the most horrible thing. I remember bleeding for months and months. I could not find my way. I sat in my chair after the thing died. And then after they died, they weren't done. They had to send emails out to talk about how they were successful in destroying this. But there's not a church or book out there talking about that. That's treachery of the highest kind. And I'm sitting at home. Work gone, people gone, sheep gone, and bills driving me into bankruptcy. I can't afford to keep light on or anything. That is the other side of church hurt. That's shepherd hurt. That's the other side for those of you who are having those meetings with the little rebel sheep. You got your little Korah meetings over there talking about who is Moses, God talked to me too, and did you think and did you hear and all of that. I'm telling you, God would like to spare you. And I remember that. I remember dying on the inside. I told God, I am done. And let me tell you how we got through. It's a strange thing about the Holy Ghost. I want you to repeat after me, but the Holy Ghost. Let's say it again. But the Holy Ghost of God. I was done. We were packing up. I'm telling you, I was looking for my little retirement home, and it was so cute. I picked up this cute little retirement because I was convinced if this kept happening to me, I must need to retire. And so I was convinced that I needed to retire. And I found my little place. I mean, I'm digging up my money, trying to figure out where I can go in the country that nobody knows me. Because, you know, it's kind of difficult for me. A little bit difficult. But I was going to find a place. And I remember sitting in that chair. And I want you to know, I have never been a real super fan of social media. But I'm actually here for a witness. I think about it now, and I cry the tears of joy. And I went to sleep that night. I woke up the next day. All of these people from around the world talking about, woman of God, don't quit. Woman of God, don't give up. Woman of God, we need you. I'm thinking, how did they know we were in trouble? I mean, I'm not trouble because I don't tell. For me to say this, Ashley can tell you, for me to say this is a big deal, but I want to spare some of you all that. But I also want to give some of you all who do have a love for your pastor, who do have a concern for you, I want to give some of you an opportunity not to fall prey to their adversaries. If you have an issue, that if they don't do something right, quietly leave. If that's where you feel, quietly leave. The Lord has just led us into something else. My family is going into another direction. Well, God is just calling us to a private consecration. Whatever. You don't have to do that. Because let me tell you, there is an anointing on church destruction. There is a spirit of destruction that anoints that congregation like never before. And that spirit will make everybody miserable. Nothing that pastor can do, nothing the pastor's spouse can do, the children don't look right any longer, and all of that. Nothing, because there is a, that church is bombarded. I don't know what church this is, but if God be faithful to my words, I hope the people of God will say, not us and not our house. Not us and not our house. That's what I want to hear you say, not here. And I hope you mobilize and unify to cast out the unclean thing. Because I'm telling you, there is an anointing. That hey, come on, somebody, hear me. That anointing will come on. It'll first start in it. I'm going to tell you what the first anointing is to tear up your work is the intercessors. The intercessors are the first one to get in. Every time my church died, it was my intercessors. Every time. And I'm telling you, that the intercessors all of a sudden, they're upset. They don't like it. They're miserable. They, what are they? They're your first line. They're the guards. They're your first line of attack. I'm talking tonight to somebody, and I need you to hear me. The intercessors are who need to be covered, and you need to pray. But when your intercessors get crazy, you need to be cutting and sitting down, because I'm telling you, your work is going to fall not long after that. Ashley and I were in Chicago. We're in Chicago on a ministry trip, and our intercessor is tearing up the place. And they're doing it with spiritual dreams and, you know how they do revelation, you know, angels creeped in. They're getting real, real creepy. I don't do creepy intercessors. I'm telling you right now, don't ever come to Dr. Price creepy, because I won't have any grace for it. I do intelligent, smart, and secure folk. If it's a devil, let's call it what it is, and let's tell me why you think it's so. Because if I don't think it's a devil, I'm going to tell you it's your soul. So I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing you need to watch out for is when your intercessors go off. That's why I don't like novice intercessors. I don't like baby intercessors. I don't like untrained intercessors, because they cannot guard you. And they cannot guard your work. I don't care how much they love you. I don't care how deeply they feel for you. So that's the first thing. The second thing from your intercessors is going to be the rest of the prayer team. All of a sudden, the prayer team is going to be all about, I'm worried about the pastor. We should pray because I think the pastor so-and-so. I'm concerned about the pastor. All of a sudden, there's a problem with leadership. That's the second line of attack. You better know your work is wobbling. Now we can go on, because now that we've covered the front line, we've got them knocking, me knocking and going crazy, and we've got the second line. The next thing is going to be your staff ministers. And with them, right with them is your singers. All of a sudden, you have contention in the ranks. You don't even know why. Because there's an anointing for taking out a church. But most people don't know is that there is also a process and a program that they follow to make sure it's gone. And so here you have the ministers, all of a sudden, they're frustrated. They don't want to serve. They're not getting what they do. They're not promoted. Nobody's helping. All of a sudden, and the ministers, see, why am I talking about this? Because all of this starts at the head, and it begins to trickle down to the body, because all of those people at the head are connected with somebody in the pew. So now we've got the singers not understanding whatever. Oh, my goodness. And at this point, you can watch and see your pastors under attack, because everybody's got a problem with what that leader says. All of a sudden, that pastor can't say anything right, can't preach a sermon, can't touch a soul. They don't know anything. You're not getting fed. I was like, not getting fed? You don't even know enough about God to know whether you're getting fed or whether you're getting blooded. Can you believe that in that last movement, we still cracked up about it, woman came to me and said, I'm not getting fed in your church. At Dr. Paula Aprox. I said, you're not getting what? I had to, because I'm telling you, I'm sitting here surrounded by books that said, read my Paula Price up to here. Talking about, I'm not getting fed. I said, oh, baby, you got a devil. I said, you know what? If you're not getting fed here, you need to leave, because you need to fast. You need to fast. Because because if anytime I can't feed you, baby, you have an appetite problem. Moving on. So now we've got the leaders, and now we're moving into the – now here's where it really gets bad. By this time, because at the same time that intercessor is getting slammed, the honor bearers, the attendants are being sucked into the battle. And all of a sudden, I don't have time. I got a life. I am busy. I don't understand. I don't feel like I'm being respected. I don't feel like I have any future here. All of a sudden, and when you hear the attendants of your leaders start talking like that, you begin to bind up some devils. Because I'm telling you, they are the inside man. They are the ones that the enemy is using to weaken your leaders' courage, faith, and confidence. All of a sudden, it gets crazy. And while we're doing this, everybody is having crazy dreams. That's how serious this attack is. Dumb dreams come up. Everybody's having crazy dreams. Now, here's where it gets deadly. Do you want to know where it gets deadly? Hey, Ashley, maybe I shouldn't go this way.
You're already out there.
Because I'm thinking, do you all want to know Periscope? Periscope, you want to know? Facebook, you interested? Here's where it gets deadly, when the prophets start chiming in, and the prophets forget that they're there to war. You know, Nehemiah was building the wall, and one of the things that I realized is that he ended up getting false prophecies. As a matter of fact, the anointing of taking out a church will send a lot of false prophets in your door. And if the true prophets are not on their game, they won't recognize it. So the next thing we got is false prophets. False prophecies. All of a sudden, the intercessors are getting false words from the Spirit, and the prophets are picking up false prophecies. They're picking up all kinds of uncleanness. Now, sometimes it's right, but that's why a church should never just rely on its inside prophets. You should never rely on just your inside prophets and your inside intercessors. You need a healthy detachment for objectivity. Help me, God. So now the prophets will start, and the prophets are, well, you know, I don't know what it means, but I saw, and I heard, and God showed me, and I dreamed. Your dream of dreams goes crazy. Your seers go crazy. They start seeing the devil in every corner, and they're seeing everybody slipping and sliding in sin. Ain't nobody doing right. Again, you do need to have that, because there are a lot of churches that are messy and need to go. I don't mind saying that, because I sit in my seat now, and I say, what can I tell you? A lot of them are. But for those that should not, you need to recognize when things change. That is why you need to have quality trained intercessors, because even they don't know when they're under attack. And I don't need an intercessor. That's like having somebody, a guard at the bank that doesn't know a criminal standing there with a gun. Like, aren't you a criminal? A prophet who can't understand that I'm under attack. Who can't understand that the prophets are under attack. Can we talk about even prophets? Can we talk about the intercessors? If the intercessors got hit, it's because the prophets fell down on the job. Because intercessors are covered by prophets. And if the prophets have fallen down on the job, that means that the intercessors were left unprotected. Is this all right to say? Let's go. Facebook. Your prophets are supposed to make sure your intercessors stay clean and sure and confident and protected. And your chief prophet is supposed to recognize when it's an attack versus when it's a revelation. And the two sometimes can look a lot alike when they're passing each other. At this point, it's hard to tell. That's when you need a high, sophisticated, highly developed, objective leader. Most of us, our leaders are too biased and too subjective to be useful. So they're biased toward their family, they're biased toward their friends, they're biased toward their job, they're biased toward everything but what God's work is. By the time your prophets begin to become assaulted and taken out, because the true prophets will, if they don't feel like they have a voice, will leave. And the weak prophets will stay, hoping to get a promotion out of their departure. This is also the gospel, too. It's gospel. Tell somebody it's gospel. So I want you to hear that. So by the time the prophets get there, the head of the house is now surrounded. The house is invaded. The head is surrounded. and there is nobody to protect. And if that church doesn't have a strong covering to come in there and rebuke that thing, break it down, tear it down, it's gone. And you know why it's gone? Because the sheep don't have enough wisdom and enough strength to resist it. Some of them will get confused because they don't even understand the new climate. They will flee. The others will get angry and decide that, hey, they're not going to be treated like that, and they're going to join the fight. Then you have the other group who decide, wow, opportunity is knocking. People are leaving. Maybe I'll finally get my debt. And before you know it, that church is gone. That shepherd is destroyed. And the shepherd doesn't even know why. And sometimes we know we're under attack, but it's all around us, and nobody that we feel can help us fend it off. I wanted to say this because I don't know who you are, and it might be several of you, it might be many of you, but I'm telling you, you need not to keep perpetuating the cycle that took out and took us out already. Some of your families are not going to recover from that. Some of you are like, I don't understand why God won't heal. Huh? You don't. Because, see, we do our little stuff and forget. And I have found out, Prophet Ashley, that the thing we think God is going after and God is disturbed about is not the one. It's always the thing we've forgotten. Because the truth hides and the lie hides every truth. And the enemy would love to keep you chasing error, chasing mistakes, chasing, you know, misdirect, so that you never, ever make him get out the way and let the truth shine. I have always learned to pray, God, show me what I'm not seeing, let me hear what I'm not hearing, and God, show me the truth through your eyes. That has always been my prayer, because I know that I can be deceived, I know my mind can be deceived, I know my emotions can be deceived, but you have to know how to defend your house. Some of you all, I'm helping somebody tonight. You're learning how to defend your house. You don't. But you sit down when your intercessors go off, pray with them. Talk to them. Hey, what's going on? Because sometimes they don't know. They are taking hits. They are taking hits. They're not being malicious. They're taking hits. And sometimes they don't know how to say, woo, I've been hit. And a lot of hits don't show up for 3 or 4 months later. So we got the victory, and they over there wondering why they're bleeding. But we never dealt with that. You go in and find out there's this putrid sore up in here that even they didn't know they had. Deal with that. Deal with your singers, especially your praise and worship leaders. They take horrendous hits. And if they are the kind that want to do it right for God and they want reverential music or they want to worship God and we want to, pull back on that worldliness and secularism, trust me, they take hits because they're bombarded by the rest of the singers. If you're a leader, stop that. Back that down. This is who has the responsibility. One thing I don't have in my leadership ranks is confusion about responsibility. There are people who are confused about whether or not they should do it. But I don't have that. This is your job. Make it work. And do it well. Instead of letting everybody know it's their ministry like it's a hobby, we treat ministry like it's a hobby. You know, up to us, ministry is synonymous with hobby. And so if it's your job and if your assignment in the church, do it and do it well. Do it well. I can speak tonight with this fervor. I can speak with this type of determination. I can speak with this kind of force because I lived it, and I lived it more than once. Because I'll tell you something that most people don't know. When women run ministry, the most difficult member of the flock in a woman's ministry is the wife. Wives are very difficult to their sisters in ministry. They're very hard. They're very difficult. First, they're enthusiastic. Then they're excited, happy their husband comes, thrilled their husband gets saved, and then feel threatened when their husband respects you as a minister because then all of a sudden they confuse the fact that you're a woman. And or a minister. And so you're going to have those issues. Because I got a women's weekend coming up. We're going to talk about this. Yes, we are. We're going to cover some stuff. We're going to set some sisters free. If you are a woman in a church under a woman, you need to make sure that you are not trying to force her gender into the role of her office. Because gender in Scripture only is, listen to me, gender shows up in one of two ways in Scripture, as wife or mother. Every other time, it doesn't matter. I know, I've studied it. Now, I'm not talking about your church doctrine, your pastor's pet sermon. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about what does say the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you right now, whoever you are, fight for your church. Fight for your church. Fight for your church. Because if you fight for your church, which is the house of God, you leverage God's grace and favor, even his indulgence, to fight for your home. Is this talking to any of you all out there? What do they say in that?
See, it's a lifestyle, do it right and well. Yes, you must live and walk this. You are so right. So I'm talking about, I'll be there until this week. Say it again.
How about my Periscope folks? What are they saying?
Fight for your church. Sure is. I'm fighting.
Have to fight. You have
another
knee. You must fight for your church, but you cannot fight for your church without fighting for its leader.
Mm.
And that's the part. You don't always understand. It's like you don't at work, you don't know what your boss said to your supervisor. You only know what the supervisor came back and told you to do as a result. And sometimes we have been, I mean, most times today, we've been preached out of knowing God is real. And that's what I'm going to do right now. And I have a few more things, a couple more points. I did put something together for you today, and I want to just go over just two of them because we won't be able to cover it all. Before we do, I would like to take a commercial break. I can do a commercial break, right?
Of course.
Upside down. How about right side up?
There
you go. All right. This weekend, it's the Women of God Restoration. I can't even get that out. Women of God Restoration Weekend. Restoration Weekend. Say that three times with me. Restoration Weekend. Restoration Weekend.
Restoration Weekend.
All right, I should have it by now. Come on, every time I try to say it, the
tongue. We've had that Women of God before.
Yeah, I know, I dodge it. Women of God, Restoration Weekend. See, I got it. Women of God, Restoration
Weekend.
Yeah, y'all, thank you for hanging with me as I put myself through the paces. I hope y'all appreciate I have to do that sometime. Now, this weekend is Friday, December 16th and 17th here in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the Southern Hills Crown Plaza across from the beautiful campus of Oral Roberts University. Bring a kid if you want to find out if you can get your kid up in there. It's a nice school. All my kids came from there, so I'm a little biased. I'm a lot biased. But anyway, if you are a woman, be here. Old, young, I don't care. Well, I don't care whether you're saved, not saved, going to be saved, heard of Jesus, just finding out about him. It's okay. Be here because these are the things that have to happen. You know, our God is strong, but the problem is the church has taught you that strong is wrong. So if you're a strong woman, you definitely want to be here. But you have to realize that this is a process. You have to work through the things that are holding you back. We're going to talk about it. We're going to dig into some things. We're going to talk about why God's first lady is not the church. And we're going to talk about where you fit in eternal destiny. Eternity wrote your destiny before you ever hit the planet. I found it. And you want to find out where it is, you need to join me here in Tulsa. Hey, I know it's short, but you can rent a car. You can rent a bus. You can rent a limo. Some of you all have limo money. Glory to God. But you need to join me here in Tulsa again, December 16th and 17th. That's Friday night and Saturday. It is a working event. We are not about mani-pedis. You will not have the girl here to cut your hair and dye it. We got some who can do it. Nope, not going to do that on my time. Now, if you want to hang around and give her some extra work, that's fine. But that's not what you're coming here for. We're not coming here for tiaras. We're not going to spin around and act like we're Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or Cinderella or the Princess of. We're not doing that. We're going to be women. And we're going to celebrate woman and womanhood. Fathers, send your daughters. Husbands, send your wives. I promise you I will not send you back a feminist. I have to keep saying that because, you know, church gets scared. And we don't like strong. In our mind, strong is wrong, and we have to change that. And we're also going to kill the Jezebel image, hallelujah, and the Jezebel myth. I love it. I really do. I love it. Join me here. It's going to be great. Now, before I get into what I'm doing, hi, kids. Bye, kids. I'm sorry. We're a little late. Smooches to my children.
And it won't be streamed.
Oh, it will not be streamed, so don't stay home and say, I'll catch it. And you know what? We don't sell the tapes or the, now we don't have tapes. We just don't sell the recordings. You know, I'm dating myself. We won't, and I don't sell recordings of events when I feel like people have pressed their way to be here and they have stressed, et cetera, and then I'm going to turn around and let somebody get the whole thing for, like, you know, 80% off. I'm not doing that. Now, I'll sell it next year, but I won't sell it this year. So if you're going to come, come. If they purchase it, why? Well, you can't even purchase it while you're here. Can we purchase? Yeah, I didn't think so because, you know, my folks, no. We will have it in our archives, though. And you know what? I have enough to say. I'm okay. If we don't get that out there, that's okay. If you're supposed to be free, you'll be here with me. Hallelujah.
And you can talk about your Dr. Paul Price TV launch.
Why don't you? Come on, prophet.
Huh? Prophet. I got the prophet calling.
Yeah.
How's that?
B-U-B.
We are finally launching. It is getting off of the ground and into the air. DrPaulaPrice.tv.
Yes.
It will be launched, and it will be a monthly subscription-based. Think of it like Netflix.
Yes.
As far as your access, subscription-based access to Dr. Price's teachings, trainings, archives, many of them. I'm not going to say everything in the kitchen sink is going to be in there, but there will be plenty of things to swim around. I have found some things
that we forgot
from years ago that will be anywhere. But on DrPaulaPrice.tv, it's not live yet, so don't even key it in because you won't find it. But you will next week.
It'll be up Monday, right?
It will be up Monday. The 19th is our launch date that we are pushing for, and we are working with Apostle Notice crew. She is on tonight as well, Antioch.
Yes.
The Near family is making this happen with us, and we are so excited about it. So be on the lookout for some emails announcing that it's coming out. Many of you have asked, how can I just go to one place and get so many things? And now you will be able to subscribe to the never-ending world. Somebody said doing a happy dance. Oh, Dr. Paul Price.
Yes, and I'm excited because it'll be my mentorship place where I will mentor you. Many of you have said, where can we get more of you? How can we get more of you? We're packaging it up for you. So you want to be a part of my mentorship circle? And well, this is step one, because I do have a closed mentorship, and it's what I want. Amen. And so, but this open to everybody. So you'll immediately, when it's up, Prophet Ashley will tell you, and you'll go right there. I know Prophet Adia will have it all over there with the links and everything, and you will catch all of my 35, count them, 35 years of standing in the faith, pressing toward the mark, learning, studying to show myself approved, fighting the good fight, and on and on and on, so that you can do the exact same thing and pass it on to your people. Mm-hmm. Yes, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I covered a lot of stuff. I didn't do roll call, so I don't know if I got roll call. Who do I have out there? Do I have any roll call?
We have some roll call for you.
Okay, because, you know, I got time. Because I'm only going to give them 15 minutes of this.
That's all right.
Because I gave you a lot.
Yeah,
I gave you.
You front-loaded it.
I front-loaded
it. Okay. Gainesville, Florida is always in the house, in Christ, as well as Pensacola, Florida.
Ooh.
North Carolina, boom.
Oh, I love that.
Bossier City.
Davidson.
All right, she's in the house. Antioch, Joliet is going strong with us tonight. Hartford, Connecticut, you know, they're always online. Tulsa, Oklahoma. Miss Carol is checking in from here. So say,
hey.
Lexington, Kentucky is also online. Clarksville is also online on Facebook.
Oh, man, we're doing well. Facebook, you're represented. Hometown.
Let's see, Dr. Atkins in Joselle, New Jersey.
Roselle,
New Jersey.
Oh, that's home.
Uh-huh. In your neck of the woods, Texas is always checking in. San Antonio. There's some other part of Texas. And San Antonio, Texas.
Well, you know, Texas is next door. That's that's fam for us.
Yes, it is. Do you think we ever, you never thought we'd say that?
Yeah.
Going up on the coast.
Yeah, I know. Ooh, help us, Lord. Okay, Periscope, who's in the house?
All right, we have Jacksonville, we have Portland, Oregon, and Dallas, Texas, Moore Park, California, Virginia, New York, Wisconsin, Detroit, Hagerstown, Maryland.
Ooh.
Auburn, Alabama. We got New Jersey again. We have Panama City, Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, we got fam all over the place.
We have Tulsa, Bowie, Maryland, Seattle, Washington, Iowa.
Hi, Iowa. We know people in Iowa, don't we?
Wichita, Gary, Indiana.
Hi, Gary. We went there with that place that had the grapefruit.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yes, what do you mean over there?
Thomasville, Georgia.
Yes.
Wait, Michigan?
We have Michigan and the play.
San Antonio, Texas, Mount Vernon, New York.
Ooh, way up. Way, way up in Cold Town. Freezing Town.
Ooh. From sea to shining sea.
Yes. Well, welcome. And listen, I deal with it in the middle, but I'd like to let you know that I care about you tuning in. I appreciate you joining me every week. And I hope that what I've said so far has been a blessing to you. So I'm going to close it out on the words that the Lord gave me. And I believe it's an invitation. So I want to go to my screen. I do have stuff for the screen.
I do.
Start again? Okay. I pushed this little guy. We need to look at
him.
All right. Now, moving right along, I want you to see what God wants to say tonight. Tonight, we're talking about making God real, steps to knowing God, revelation, research, reverence, realization, relationship. We're doing, but for a moment, folks, we're going academic. You know, we like to do academic. That's part of my thing, my strong point. Revelation plus research equals realization. We mastered revelation. Now let's move on to realization. No? I did.
Like it's connected, but
it's not going. I did. I was doing it. Okay. Are you ready, guys? We'll try it again. I think we did it. Did I do it?
There we go.
Okay, well, you got it. I don't have it. I now have it. Okay, starting again. There we go. So let's go again. I think we went through this. So the first thing I want to remind you, and I've decided I'm going to remind you every show, every broadcast, every moment, apostolic Christians are the first Christians. All Bible Christians begin their Christianity apostolic. If you look at the bottom of the book on your screen, the first Christians to ever be born again, born from above, born to God through Jesus Christ. So I want to make sure that we don't forget that. This is what this is all about, and I'm calling this realization class, Do You Really Believe God Is Real? Moving fast. Now, you all, I'm getting ready to go at hyper speed, so can you handle it? Stay with me. Again, making God real, steps to knowing God, revelation, research, reverence, realization, relationship. Revelation plus research equals realization. Now, I want to say again, we mastered revelation. Now, let's move on to realization. God was talking to me as I was communing with him this morning, and he was saying, I need you to talk about going from revelation to realization. We have been in the revelation mode so long, we don't realize that there's another step. You know, revelation means to unveil something that was hidden, unveil the truth. I've often said that revelation is invalid without research, because if it's an existing truth and it exists somewhere, you need to search it out and research it and make sure that it's revelation, not just information, or not just a fantasy or imagination. So, moving on. So tonight we talk about realizations and how it pertains to God. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, hallelujah, for those that love him. So that all of those are statements of realization. Your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it, neither has your heart received it. It hasn't even come into your heart, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God wants you to recognize that realization is how you discover who you are in God, what he's done for you, why you're with him. Realization. You're going to hear that a lot. Realization is where we are right now in God. God is taking us from revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, to the realization of who he is and what it's all about. So, for example, just to say this, sensing God and realizing him are two different things. We often sense things but do not always know what we sense or realize what our sensations mean. We don't. You know, I'm sensing something, I don't know. Okay, I think it's a realization takes all of the ambiguity out of the equation. Realization takes all of the vagueness and the abstractness out of it, because real means real. Amen. I know we get deep, but sometimes we just have to just be simply deep or deeply simple. Okay, so to sense means to detect or identify, to distinguish, recognize, or know, to feel, infer, perceive, or discern. Now, I listed those words for you to look them up and to really attach them to sensing. So by sensing, we detect things, and sometimes we can sense it, make sense of it, and identify it. Sometimes we can distinguish it, and on we go. But that's not always the case with realization. Hallelujah. Realizing means understanding. It brings us to that comprehending. It's just a little different. Appreciating. You know, part of us don't appreciate God because we don't have a realization of him, of who he is and what he's doing. And realization is about grasping and apprehending, recognizing, gathering, getting, and fathoming. There is a dimension of knowing God that takes him from the academic into the reality, the realness of your life, the reality of God. Most people do not have a realization of God, because that's why we're constantly walking around, I don't know what he's saying, and I don't know what he means, and why is he saying that, and I just don't get it. Because God is different, and you have to realize who he is. But look at this. I'm putting all of these up here because they're just too good to drag out, and I want you to be able to go through it. Okay? Look at, oh, hold on, I got too excited. Did I get too excited? There we go. So look at this. So the effect, this is good. Now, I had to get one in there. This is good. Realization is what enables relationship. Why? Because when you realize something, it becomes real, it becomes tangible, it becomes fulfilling. Look at this. Fulfilling. When you realize God, you fulfill the reason he made you. You fulfill the reason he joined himself to you. You are able to achieve what God wants you to do because God is real. You will be willing to reorganize your life, reorganize your thoughts, because God is what? Real. You will begin to go after accomplishing things, completing what you start, reaching your goals and his goals, attaining to that for which he has laid hold of you, and then consummate your relationship with the Holy Ghost. God is real, and we don't know what it means to say. We can use phrases, but what does it look like? What does God being real look like? It looks like these things. You'll be able to execute what God gives you to do, do what he tells you to do, and carry it out to the end, carry it out to bring it to fruition, make happen what God needs to happen in the earth realm, make the intangible or the spiritual real, and then, again, make happen what God wants. When God is real, real things happen. When you realize who God is, you realize how he thinks, how he feels, what he's living. Part of realizing God is realizing that the human experience is interesting, the Christian experience is wonderful, but it's the God experience that changes your life, that makes things work for you. I'm going on because I got two more to do, and we're going to hit this on time because I tend to do that very well. So realization, listen, enables you to be searched and tried by God to comprehend the effect. Here, this is so good. Wait, hold on. Comprehend the effects of God in your life. Apprehend the purpose and function of Christ in you. Live aware of God. Live in relationship with God. Honor your covenant with God. Act from an understanding of God. And then explain God to others from the inside out. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to throw something now. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Well, she hit the desk. She did not.
You are, when realization revelation makes you understand why you needed to be searched and tried by God, you will begin to comprehend the effect of having God in your life and apprehend why Christ is in you and what to do about it. You will live in a chronic awareness, constant awareness of who God is in relationship with him, honoring your covenants with God, asking from an understanding of the, oh, my God, this is good. I'm about to shout out by myself. Woo! Glory to God. And then explain. Then you have a right. Come on, give it to me. Yes. Yes. Amen. Explain God to others. It's good. You know a sugar pie good. He's a sugar pie Jesus. Love that man. Hallelujah. Realization enables covenantal bonds to be formed with God. It reveals you as God's chosen. Oh, hallelujah. And then guess what? The knowledge, it means yes, I'm so glad this is a cloth, because boy, I'm telling you, China don't stand a chance with me. Crystal, not going to make it. Hallelujah, glass, ceramics, we won't do it. Hallelujah. Done. Realization knowledge means entering. Listen to me, people. Listen. Entering the being of another to create a oneness that compels loyalty. Hallelujah. When God entered you, if you realize what it means, you'd be loyal to him, and loyalty wouldn't be a problem. Move it on. Oh, I'm done. Did I do it? 4 minutes to tell you. So I'm talking to the Holy Ghost, and I'm saying, now, God, what is it? I said, you know, Jesus, I know you. I've read all of these books. Had a great time learning you. I've got so many rich moments with God. I mean, if my memory could be put in an album, it would be explosive and extraordinary. And you know what I said? But God, I got to know you because I don't realize. I said, I haven't realized you. You know, realizing God includes closing the deal with him, materializing everything that represents God. And he started telling me all these things I'm going to do. And I said, but God, I didn't realize that you were that powerful. Ask yourself, how many times? I didn't realize you were that awesome. I didn't realize you could do that. I didn't realize. I mean, we love walking around saying blanket, well, God can do anything. But then when we start breaking down anything, we then began to say what he can't do. As soon as we start examining anything and everything, the next thing for us is right at that point, he will say, well, you know, but now God can't do that. Now God can't do that. Now, you know, that's not God, but God can't do that because that's not lawful. I remember thinking when people told me that things weren't lawful, God had to tell me, you need to study monarchy and kings because everything is lawful for me. I made the rules, so I set the law. Because I made the rules, I set the system, I can do anything I want. I don't care about the world. I'm telling you, God is God. He can break any seal, bust in anything, show up where he pleases without an invitation. And the interesting thing is you can't put it out. It's cookie. So you can't even see. You see how it is, this girl, she's so on time. Is she on time? So I want you to recognize that God is real, but you have to stop saying it and examine what it means. When you have real property, you have the key to something. You have the deed to something. When you have a real job, you go someplace, you touch it, you expect something from it. Real. Come on, baby. I'm telling you, real. God is real. Okay, find it. Where's my car? Hallelujah. You know, guys, I'm comfortable with you all now, so I'm not even standing on ceremony anymore. You all are for family. We are now in a family relationship. This is how I'm going. Get used to it because you're going to get more and more of the real me. Hallelujah. December 16th and 17th, Friday night and Saturday, Women of God Restoration Weekend. Ha! You got to join me. Tulsa Hills, Crown Plaza, Cross of ORU. Don't forget, but between now and then, there is Thursday, Paul the Price Show, 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time, and then there is Prophetic Ed. You don't want to miss it. I'm building on the realness of God and how prophets are supposed to bring you into reality. Good night, girl. Love you guys. Good night.